Oh yay! If you want to know what's going on, go to documentary.com.
Welcome to a documentary podcast from a basement bar somewhere in London. I can tell you exactly where. We're in the Curzon Cinema. It's really nice. I was introduced to this place a short while ago, one beer in fact ago, by John Perivaralis. I'm always going to have problems with my crappy English language approach to other people's more interesting names. And I'm also with Richard of Main Vision, who you may have seen connected with previous videos that have appeared on Documentary. Now, we're here today armed only with our cameras and a large amount of cash if you want to have a drink or eat anything in this very expensive town. And we've been wandering around taking photographs. And it's not difficult to walk around areas which have surveillance all over the place, be it cameras or video cameras, and there seems to be quite a police presence at the moment, toting machine guns or on bicycles, which isn't quite so threatening.
And on horseback.
And on horseback, of course. We've been down to Parliament Square, and I was surprised not only by that coffee machine, but also by the fact that there was quite a few protests today. Did you not think? I mean, compared to the last few months, where it seems to have been more difficult to get permission to protest in Parliament Square, which of course we need now.
Well, yeah, but I mean, I think people are taking full advantage of the recent change in the law, which is allowing people to protest again in Parliament Square, which I feel is as it should be. So, yeah, it's a healthy sign, I think, for a democracy when people can protest in front of their Houses of Parliament again.
Definitely, I'll agree. We met an interesting man dressed up as John Bull, who was talking about all the different protests that he does. He's travelled down from Birmingham. There was a guy, what was the Iranian guy protesting against?
It was some group of Iranians protesting against the regime in Iran at the moment. And I think they were a broad-based group who were protesting against the lack of civil rights and liberties in Iran, along with asking, you know, for a withdrawal of the sort of nuclear policies there. So, yeah, Iranians, dissident Iranians, I suppose, exiled Iranians.
Of course, Richard, you were only here, well, a week ago, was it, photographing the Burma protest?
It was, I was here on Saturday to film the Burma protest. It started from the Tate Britain, moved along the bank towards in front of the Houses of Parliament, and finally ending in Trafalgar Square, where there were lots of people, lots of crowds. It was part of a global action day, which took place all around the world, but London was one of the biggest places. And I put the video, if you look up Warza Bidul, then you'll find it. Warza Bidul, Warzabidul.
Very good having an original and unique word, especially when it comes to Googling anything. We were having a conversation a short while ago, and John was telling me on how we were thinking of all the different reasons for why we are such a surveilled nation. And obviously I always tend to lean towards the darker Orwellian reasoning behind things, thinking that obviously the bigger picture of it all is the gradual general oppression of the state, meaning that we are eventually going to be policing ourselves for fear of being watched 24 hours a day. Whether I believe that 100% or not, I don't know, it makes for interesting podcasts. John said that potentially it could be an infrastructure being put in place to kind of monitor the privatisation of public space. Can you elaborate on that idea?
This is something that I started thinking along these lines when I was talking to an architect friend of mine who lives in New York, who was saying that he felt that London, there wasn't any public space anymore in London. Whereas in New York, even after 9/11, he felt that it was still, you know, it was a public city. And it got me thinking that actually, where are the highest concentrations of CCTV cameras in London? And it's not necessarily around government buildings or vulnerable sort of institutions of the state or places which would be vulnerable to attack by terrorists, but it's mostly in areas where there are either big corporations or high property values. So this would seem to support this idea that it's about more to do with, again, with capital and capitalism than maybe terrorism, and that terrorism is a good pretext for actually putting in place measures to protect capital and protect private property, and in effect to privatize what was formerly public space.
This would make a lot of sense to me in regard to the point that a lot of the times when the general public rebel and are a little bit angry against surveillance, it comes down to the roadside surveillance that we're experiencing en masse in England with speed cameras, mobile speed cameras, and all of the ways that revenue seems to be collected from the motorist, almost criminalising the everyday person for going 1 or 2 miles an hour over the speed limit in the UK, which seems to happen quite a lot. So it would fit in quite nicely with that. We have a speed camera in Northamptonshire, in Northampton town, in fact, which is famous for, I don't know if it's doubled its revenue now, but at one point it was earning £1 million a year from one camera on a pretty innocuous piece of road where I never ever remember hearing of an accident or even seeing flowers attached to railing. So it does seem to be quite a big money earner.
I think the litmus test is if you go out into London with a professional looking camera and try and photograph in various places, I think you can freely photograph, as we did today, in areas where there are government buildings. But it becomes a lot more difficult once you start trying to photograph corporate headquarters in the City of London, or Canary Wharf is really almost impossible to photograph in without being
issues with that.
Well, yes, with security guards and even police asking you to stop photographing or even to hand over your film or card. Or in areas where there are high property values, it becomes very difficult to photograph, and you're challenged at every turn.
How very annoying. I should have turned my mobile phone off. I will do that now. Richard, do you have any of the similar issues when it comes to actually using a video camera, as John's saying he has with professional-looking stills camera in built-up areas?
So far, I haven't had any problems. I haven't noticed anything, because when I'm filming, it's people doing action, so it's more likely that the people that are being filmed will object, but haven't found anything yet.
Here's some homework for you then. Start filming CCTV. Let's see how long you can survive without some kind of interaction. We had some interesting interaction today, in fact, with a couple of community support officers, kind of part-time police, I guess. I think they have all the same powers that our police force have, probably just an excuse not to pay them as much. And I stopped to ask them a question about a phone number that appeared on a new kind of low-level CCTV camera, which was not far away from Downing Street. And I asked him what the phone number was for. One guy didn't have a clue. The other one says, so that you can phone. And I don't think he was really too clear about what it was for, but he thinks it was if you've lost somebody or lost something or you'd like to report crime directly to the CCTV office. Now, what was he said about the area and how you might not be eligible to apply for the footage under the Freedom of Information Act from that camera because it was in what? Do you remember what he said?
It was called the government
area. something.
Was it a government security area or government protection area?
Government protection area, I think it was, yes.
Did we work out whether that was we need to protect our government from its people or the government is protecting us from something?
It's, again, one of these grey areas, these zones of exemption which are springing up all around the world, with Guantanamo probably being the sort of most high-profile example, where normal laws and don't apply, and where it's very unclear which laws, if any, do apply. I think it would be interesting if the listeners and viewers of your podcast actually telephoned the number which is advertised on these CCTV stickers and maybe made inquiries about this. Maybe you could pass out the telephone number on the podcast.
I think we photographed the telephone number at one point, so I shall stick it on my blog, which, as you should already know, is at documentally.com. If you're American, that's with two L's. Right then, so another interesting few points made in a very lovely little bar. If ever you're in London, pop underneath the Curzon Theatre, which seems to, cinema, which seems to be playing some fantastic films. Yes. Control at the moment. Yeah. Yeah, fantastic. I always like bars where there's photographs on the wall. It always makes me think I'm being pretentious and arty. Or at least enjoying a nice beer for
a little plug to the photographer who's showing here at the moment, who's Helena Smith, with a series of pictures called Mirage Pictures.
Mostly portraits by the looks of things.
They're portraits, or they look like, some of them look like film stills. I'm not sure.
Oh, if she works for Mirage Pictures, there's a good chance that sounds like a movie company. Yeah. Okay, so I guess we'll be getting back out into the hustle and bustle that is London town, the probably the most surveilled area of the world right now, would you say?
I think so, probably.
That's not my phone.
Outside of these secure and secret sites in like Guantanamo and throughout the Western world. In fact, we're going off to see an exhibition now about secret and hidden spaces, like the back parts of airports, CIA centres and various other spaces like that. Taryn Simon at the Photographer's Gallery. Well worth having a look at.
And that's the name, Taryn Simon. Yeah. Excellent. I look forward to that, as I do finishing this soft drink of some kind of American beverage with ice. I'm not giving any false advertisement where it's not due. Great stuff, guys. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Speak to you again soon. Bye bye.
Você está ouvindo documentali.com.